Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God's people seem to never have it easy. Well, maybe in the garden when there was but one extremely simple rule. But even then, there was Satan and his plan to destroy that which God had created. God may have thought man very good, but Satan simply didn't agree. In fact, Luther once wrote that he thought Satan interfered with just a few hours after Eve was created. At the very moment that this first couple questioned their trust in God, I'm sure Satan celebrated, for he probably believed that he had already won a war that he had started with his Creator. And he probably celebrated again after the first murder at the hands of Cain. And then again, when God flooded the earth and destroyed almost all of his creation. And as history continued to be written, and as the war continued to between him and God, he continued to leave his fingerprints all throughout its pages. He may have been unsure about how the war would end, but he was confident that he would be the victor through many of her battles. And maybe, just maybe, he would come out the victor when all was said and done. And so, he continued to interfere in God's creation. And he continued to focus his efforts on those people who looked to God for as their Lord and Savior. For why would he waste his energy on anyone else? You see, the lost were already his. The lost could even be useful in his efforts. And so he used them time and again to tempt God's people and pressure them to find security and trust in someone or something else. Pharaoh and his army, the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Babylonians, each and every time Satan would use the leaders and peoples of these nations to attack God's chosen. But each and every time, God would intervene. He would do that in some way, and he would free his people from their situation and reestablish them as his own. But that didn't stop Satan. During the time of Esther, the Persians were his tool of choice. He used them to trick the king into legislating a day of genocide, a day where the people could hunt down and kill Jews. But God intervened yet again, this time through Esther. Because of her pleas to her husband, who happened to be the king, her people were permitted to attack and kill those who sought them out. And in the end, somewhere around 75,000 Persians perished. The Jews were saved from annihilation. And so they celebrated because God had saved his treasured possession from the throes of Satan once again. This came to be known as the Feast of Purim, and it would be celebrated to this day. Now you see, the lives of God's people have been fraught with peril since the beginning of time. Satan simply has not relented. His mission has been the damnation of mankind, and he has found much success. He has also seen failure, but his failures have not dissuaded him to cease his pursuit. Instead, it seems to have motivated him. For today, it sure does seem that we have all but abandoned God. Everywhere we look, in the governments of the world, in societies in which they rule, in schools, and even in families, even in the minds of people. Everywhere we look, we find a people who have replaced the God of the Bible with the God of self. And there could be no doubt that Satan is active. There could be no doubt that he continues to hold firm to some truth, something. Something there that motivates him to continue scouring the earth looking for new victims. But what is it? What is he grasping at? For he surely was present when Jesus was crucified. He was surely dancing when Jesus gave up his spirit and breathed his last breath. Didn't he realize what that meant? Maybe he thought it meant he had won. Maybe he figured that God had worked out many things to this point, but now there was nothing he could do to fix it. Jesus was dead, and with him any hope of salvation for mankind. But of course, that's not what happened. God did work it out. Indeed, he even used Satan to accomplish the rescue of his people. So Satan had to realize that. Maybe not at that moment. But when he saw Jesus rise from the grave as a victory over sin and death, he had to realize that he had lost. So why, then, is he still active today? It's because he is aware that he has finally lost, but he insists on taking as many of God's people with him that he can. Are we experiencing Satan's last fit of anger? Something akin to burning the ship, so to speak. And really the question then is, where does that leave us? We look out into the world and we see it a mess. But we don't have to look very far. We can look closer. Our communities, our local schools, maybe even our families. Or maybe even closer than that. Maybe we can look at our own hearts. Where is it that Satan is distracting us? Where has he presented to us a problem that causes us to struggle in our faith? Maybe it's the government. Maybe it's the neighbor. Maybe it's ourselves. But it's something. Satan guarantees it. He's trying to distract us from focusing on God. For you see, if you're looking to God for strength, Satan is looking to you for destruction. And this is where the account from Esther can provide some encouragement. Now, it might be easy to read this account and accept God's hand in their survival. It might seem obvious even that God would do what he did because of what he had promised. You see, he had to sustain David's line so that Jesus could be born. That's clear to see when we look backwards. But our problems are not behind us. Our problems are here with us today. They're right here, this very moment. And just because God helped his people back then, just because he had a plan back then, does he have one now for us? For you? Maybe even more frightening. What might that plan be? God works in His own way, and sometimes that work is contrary to our desires. The thought that maybe, just maybe, God is truly at work in our lives in this very moment, and even maybe, just maybe, placed us in this situation, can be even more frightening than not believing He is in control. And Satan keeps whispering, maybe you're right. How can you love a God that would allow you to be in this situation? How can you love a God that would allow you to feel this way? You see, Satan will use anything to pull you from God. All he wants is for you to blink for just a moment. And so if this account from Esther is anything, it's encouragement to cling to Jesus, even when all hope seems lost, even when you don't think it will help, even when you are afraid that it will help and God wants you burdened in the way that you currently are. You see, it's an encouragement to you that wisdom of God is greater than your wisdom. It's an encouragement to you that the power and control of God is greater than the power and control of self. The account teaches us that God is able to control all things to keep a promise that He made thousands of years before. And it teaches us that God has a love for us that drove Him to keep a promise that He made to us thousands of years ago. And how do we know? Because God orchestrated everything so that His Son would suffer and die for us. God raised Him from the dead as a visible sign of that power and love. That's why. So as you continue to be weighed down with your burdens, as you continue to struggle with your faith, if that's where you are, cling to Jesus. And when Satan tempts you, cling even tighter. For in Jesus you'll truly find comfort and strength, and everlasting life. And the feast that you will participate in on the last day will be better than any feast of Purim could ever be. This He promises you. Please pray with me. Lord, our hearts are heavy with the burdens of this world. We know that You are in control, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it. So we cling to You and pray that You would keep us in Your arms through all of our trials, all of our sufferings, and all of our temptations. Strengthen our faith, remain steadfast in our devotion to You. In Your name we pray. Amen.